Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Tim, how do you like second base?
Oh, man, it's all right. You know, not too bad. You know, just instead of working on the feet where you see I almost fell there, but... You know, I got comfortable as the game went on, and you know, I was able to make some plays.
That's Tim Anderson. Play him at short, play him at second, put him wherever you want. He's doing whatever he can do for his country. The WBC, 7 o'clock, first pitch tonight, USA versus Japan. And someone who has been covering it, among many other things, because it seems like there's three of this guy when you see all the baseball he's been covering, is Clinton Yates, who is a columnist and TV commentator, host for ESPN, senior columnist for Anscape.com, and on Twitter, at Clinton Yates. He joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Clinton.
What's up, guys? I must say this off the top. The last time we talked, I unceremoniously ended the interview by telling you how great the weather was in Los Angeles. Well, today it's cold and raining and miserable, so I felt like I should update you on that just for posterity's sake. How we doing?
Yeah, and it's 55 and sunny here today, so, you know.
I get what I deserve.
Yep, you sure do. You've been everywhere, man. Like, this is I don't know if they could have designed a better event for you, like you personally. What's your WBC experience been like?
So just to be clear for folks, I was in Phoenix and I'm not in Miami. Do I regret that? Absolutely. But do I regret that as a fan? Certainly not. And I'll start in Phoenix just quickly. You know, that's where Great Britain, an interesting squad that was made up of a lot of guys that are sort of, you know, island guys, Bahamian dudes, people with random sort of lineages back to England. You know, the U.S. was there, Colombia was there, Canada was there, a team that featured Freddie Freeman. And I immediately started to realize, you know what, like what this tournament brings is not your sort of garden variety jingoism. It's not just necessarily, oh my God, these are the best players talking trash and blowing each other away. There's a collegiality to what tournament baseball is that a lot of the players bought into. And so before we even got to these knockout rounds, I'll tell you, Loho, Mexico-USA was one of the most electric baseball games I've ever been to in my life, and it was nothing close to a pro-U.S. crowd, even though it was in Phoenix. The vibe of this thing is like the Little League World Series with adults playing it. That's how it is. It's fun. These people are into it. The competitors like each other to a certain extent in terms of they respect each other's game, and it shows up on the field. It's just, it's hard to say no to this product when it looks this good night in and night out.
I'm glad you talked about the collegiality of it, because I don't know that it was that they did something similar this year, but for one of the other WBCs, for Team Israel, there was a documentary put together where there were so many people who were really learning about their connection and their heritage for the first time, and it involved a trip to Israel. And it was all chronicled. You know, our friend Cody Decker was a part of that, and Sammy Fold was a part of that. And it's for a lot of these countries where people are, like you say, maybe tangentially connected to a heritage. Those who make the effort to say, "All right, let's learn and let's come together around this," it's been profoundly moving for people to be a part of something that brings their family tree back.
Totally understand that. And Behind the Flag is the series that MLB did. Italy, in fact, did a similar thing, guys, where Mike Piazza, the manager of that team, took guys back to what we'll just call the old country to learn about their culture, meet different players, play a game together on a field, actually in Italy. And to me, on some level, that's kind of the whole thing. The baseball is one part, and we can get to that in a little bit, but the coming together of cultures is huge. I think of Shohei Ohtani, who plays for Japan and obviously is a super megastar. They had the Czech Republic in their group. Czech Republic, a group of firefighters, financial planners, and neurosurgeons who basically like just playing baseball, find themselves in this huge tournament after beating Spain as sort of a somewhat typical European powerhouse. And Ohtani shows up in Miami wearing a Czech Republic baseball hat because that's just the kind of ambassador for the game he is. And look, if you've been around baseball long enough, you know that cutthroat competition is part of it. But again, everybody's there trying to sort of achieve the same goal. And when you can find a way to learn about each other, it's just really, really cool. And I think that the WBC has shown that that's a large part of what this is about. You know, it's a global sport, and letting the globe's eyeballs look at everybody in the same place at the same time cannot be bad for baseball in any stretch.
Clint, the piece you wrote about Team USA and black baseball, I thought was really interesting. Look, Clint and I have been on panels talking about black baseball. Like, we've discussed it. Like, I have some feelings about all of it, and you know how sometimes we sometimes don't do enough to talk about the diaspora of black baseball is alive and well in MLB. Black American baseball is a very different thing. And that's what we have with Team USA. So when you were talking with those guys about what that photo of the eight people involved with Team USA, coaches and players, what it meant to them, what was the vibe that you caught?
The vibe was that basically everybody had made it to a certain extent. And one of the people that I'd like to highlight in that is Devin Williams. You guys know him for throwing the airbender changeup for the Brewers, young kid who's their setup guy. He was like, dude, you think I ever thought I'd be on the same field as Ken Griffey Jr.? Like, point blank. You know what I mean? It doesn't get much more complicated than that for a lot of these guys in terms of the instruction that you get, in terms of just the life experiences that you get hanging around players like, you know, a Luke Collier, who, by the way, whose kid got drafted, Luke Collier from Chicago, whose kid got drafted by the Reds, who's sort of a generational baseball guy now. Like, having all these people around, there were enough of us, Loho, that it didn't feel weird. It just felt cool because everywhere you turned, there was somebody that looked like you that could be a part of it. And that was not just on the American team. As I pointed out, I wrote a story about a kid named Harry Ford from Atlanta, who's in the Mariners system, who played for Great Britain, you know, and their manager is a brother too for Great Britain. And so I feel like for the American squad in particular, it was cool to be able to see that whilst our numbers are good, it wasn't actually that big of a deal. Although when it came to game time, all of what we are as a diaspora, as a unit in our multitudes, was there from infield to outfield to the coaching staff. And that's just cool to see, because if you're a young player watching these and the excitement, you want to feel like you can be a part of it. And when you look up and you see a guy like Cedric Mullins, even though it looks like a laugher on the score sheet going yard in a WBC game, you think, man, that could be me too.
And what's excellent is, I don't know if people have been following this, but Jerry Manuel has kind of been on a mission. You know, like he's done incredible stuff at the youth baseball level to bring the game to more people. I enjoy watching Jerry Manuel smile. You know,
Jerry is a hoot and a half. And by the way, if you haven't seen the clip, you can go to my Twitter. It's somewhere deep in there where he, after Trey Turner hit that bomb the other night, that grand slam in the ninth, and he jumped out and did the too small celebration. I was like, Jerry, you are too old for this nonsense. But it was hilarious. This is a guy who's a baseball lifer who still knows how to have fun. And by the way, still looks great on the field. He's one of the most stylish dudes you will ever see. He had a pair of glasses the other day that were so fly that half the team was looking at him like, where did you get those, bro? You know, it's just an infectious energy, and he's always been a part of this. Between his foundations, between everything he's done in different places that he's lived, Sacramento, Chicago, and so forth, the Sage, as they used to call him, as you guys know, is still very much the lifeblood, I think, of black baseball for a lot of people, you know, in the youth game all the way up through the pros and obviously through the World Baseball Classic as well.
Something we were talking about yesterday was trying to compare the dynamics of this tournament relative to professional clubs with FIFA and the World Cup, and how there isn't a question when it comes to loyalty to country and time for the World Cup when everything else comes to a stop. And you don't hear the same kind of grumbling from the Premiership or the Bundesliga or Serie A that they're all like, well, I don't know. This is they're taking this a little too seriously. And yet here there is this classically off-putting American MLB exceptionalism that still applies. What do we have to do to end that?
I think people just got to get over themselves. You know, this is one of those things, and I'll say his name flat out. When Keith Olbermann came out with that xenophobic and otherwise flatly sort of racist remark about how this doesn't matter based on different things that happened in different people's past, my simple thought was, you know what? Maybe you just don't like baseball as much as you think you do. Because if the only form of digestion that you can take of one particular sport is guys in spring training and 162 games of a slog finally getting to something that culminates at the Fall Classic, well, then maybe this is not the sport for you outside of Major League Baseball. It's okay. We talked about this before. If your baseball diet is varied, that's all right. And a lot of Americans can't seem to understand the fact that, hey, maybe, just maybe, the work labor force is not the most important thing in people's minds at all times. That's a whole other separate discussion about how people feel about what Americans do for a living in general. But I think it's going to come down to this. Games like last night proved to me that there's no turning back on this. There's no way you say, I want less of that. And if this is the product you're going to get, and you're going to be the one kid standing in the corner saying, nope, not for me, well, then so on. You know what I mean? Like, we can all laugh at you while we're all over here having a good time at the real baseball field. I turned on a spring training game yesterday. Bruh, I had to turn that thing off within 5 minutes. And I loved this game. I just couldn't look at it because it was just too pedestrian for what we had been looking at comparatively. So I do think there's a cultural element. I do think there's something that has to do with just in general why people like this sport, which is to root for jerseys or root for teams or just to say that their city is better than another, as opposed to actually enjoying what's on the field. For people that actually enjoy what happens on a baseball field, beyond their allegiances, the World Baseball Classic is for you. And that's only going to get better as more people, more players, and more, frankly, teams get interested in the, you know, the popularity that it brings with being a part of such a project.
What's cool to me is, with Team America, like Team USA, like I'm actually wearing a Team USA cap right now, Clinton.
Okay.
Folks that are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670score, you can see it. I feel like this, as this process has continued to go on, the Americans have loosened up. And they're not Puerto Rico, they're not the Dominican Republic, but you saw some of it with Trey Turner. You also saw him fighting some of his instincts to party because he like ran to the dugout immediately, which is what American players kind of do. But seeing all of them on the field, like jump on the field, seeing Mike Trout like laughing and smiling, which is what commissioners have been trying to do with Mike Trout for 10 years, is to get him out there and get him public. Seeing how much joy every player, not just Team USA, but specifically Team USA, has had inside of this. I don't know how you can watch it and go, nah, we need less of that.
Exactly. It feels like an episode of Footloose sometimes when you're watching American baseball compared to other sports where you're just like, come on, guys, just dance. It's okay. You can live your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's kind of where we are. It's like, yo, look at right over there. Everybody's having a blast. Why would you not want to be like that? And I understand, you know, this is ingrained, this kind of weird puritanical values that we put on baseball are very much ingrained, at least, frankly, on the white American level, in terms of that sport in this country, you know, and it's hard to get away from. But there's nothing to say that we can't learn from this and put their own spin on it. I mean, what are we talking about here? You think that if they didn't let us Loho take over a ballpark for a day, it wouldn't be the most fun cookout slash party of the year? Because it would be. You know, and I think that there's something to be learned from that. We don't always have to be the ones that are doing things the so-called right way, because who cares about the right way anyway? It is ultimately just a sport. It is something designed to bring people together. And that goes for in the crowd as well as on the field. I know y'all been crowd watching because every person I know has been hitting me up like, do you see this? Because it looks, it feels, it smells, it is different. And there's nothing wrong with that. I champion people who are thinking about doing this or going to one of these events somewhere, even if it's not in the U.S., go. Trust me, it will expand your baseball mind and your baseball universe, and there's nothing wrong with that at all.
We keep, Clint and I keep missing each other when we're in Phoenix, because I was in Phoenix last Saturday as well, and I was downtown Phoenix, because I love downtown Phoenix, and Team Mexico was rolling deep, like in full gear, like people were ready, and they wanted to be a part of all of this. And they you know, the walk from where I was to Chase Field was like 5 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the area, like the restaurants in the area, it was just, you could see it. And there was a pride to it that I hadn't experienced, because I hadn't been in a WBC city while it was going on. And seeing the level of interest and the friendly banter back and forth between fan bases, when you get into the ballpark, it's a little less friendly, but when you see it and you see how much people are interested in it, it's a hit, man. Like, and to me, I don't know how anyone can look at it and say different.
Well, the reason is because I think for a lot of people in this country who are used to being looked at as the cool, who are used to being looked at as the smart, used to being looked at as the most powerful, it's hard to look across the way and say, well, dang, we ain't got that. There's a very high element of jealousy, I think, that comes into this for a lot of American baseball fans, because they just don't know how to operate that way without feeling like they're faking it. And so that's where I feel like ultimately you just got to let your hair down and say, look, it's a party. You know, it's baseball. It's designed to be something that allows you to cheer for the guys that you like for your country. Because of the internal politics of this nation, that's a little difficult for some people when you look at who's on the field versus who isn't. And overall, this is the main thing, guys. Baseball is a form of expression, and that is something that I think that has been lost in this country for so many decades and so many generations, is that, yeah, it's a game. Yeah, there's a skill to it. Your cutter, your slider, your ability to bunt, your ability to hit, your ability to run bases, which, by the way, Japan showed us in droves last night. That's one thing. But ultimately, it's an expression of self through who you are, and every other country in the world who's any good at this seems to do that better than the United States. And that's just something we got to work on.
It's also a pastoral game in its essence. And the basis of it is I don't want to go back to the 1800s and the transcendentalists and the nature of how we react to parkland societally. But it's not football. It's not a simulacrum of war. And right. The essences of the game are so different. And my hope is, and I know this is an absolute pipe dream, Clinton, but the more conversations I've had and the more experience that I've had as a youth baseball parent has been, we got to get the parents out of it. We've got to somehow, at least in this country, so many good things could happen if we allow kids to play the game again and enjoy playing the game again, even the great play, even the really good players, and not siphon them off and say, you got to spend $25,000 a year for the best travel teams. It's already ruining U.S. soccer, if it hasn't forever ruined U.S. soccer. But this game would and will be so much better, especially culturally, if we can keep the parents from wrecking it.
Speaking of land issues, you don't got to go any farther than Jackie Robinson West to know how much parents getting involved can totally ruin an experience for what the sport is supposed to be. And I agree with you. You know, I mean, look, the bottom line is that it's a game that is designed to bring people together through teamwork, and it's not a game that is designed for people to knock each other's heads off. That alone should have more parents interested in their kids participating on a level that is wholesome and to the ground. And by wholesome, I simply mean you get to play with your friends. I respect what the travel ball world is doing, because the idea is that for kids that are really good, you get to play at a competitive level that's probably going to take you to the next level. Okay. But the money that's involved with that, the way that it involves specialization, you get to the time that some of these kids are in college and they don't even like playing baseball anymore. That's never what you want, in my opinion. And I don't mean that because, you know, I have any particular affinity towards one level of youth play versus another. I just feel that the joy of the game is something that I connected to. I liked playing baseball. That's why I like baseball. Sure, it's cool to watch famous guys do really big things, but the fun of it came in participating. And that's something that I think that the more parents get involved in a healthy way can be a good thing. The problem becomes is when you're the guy behind the dish yelling at the umpire, trying to tell him you know how to do his job better than he does, and next thing you know, you're fighting in the parking lot. Parents need to get involved at a participation level. That's about it. Let your kids play and make sure that they have an opportunity to do so. And I guarantee you they'll be able to find their own way to have fun without you telling them how to do it.
You travel all over the world to see baseball and softball. What's a trip that you would highly recommend for the Score listener to make to go and watch ball?
Huh. I'm going to say this year, I'm going to actually say the England trip will be interesting. That team had a fascinating tournament, Great Britain did, in terms of their ability to show up on the world stage. And I think that they're, what, year three or four into that London series? I think that there's a big enough population across the pond that that's a cultural experience that is a little different than, say, the NFL one. You know what I mean? When it comes to going to London, it'll be a more of a grassroots thing. I do think Europe and Africa are the next big frontiers in terms of where baseball expands. People talk about Asia, people talk about Latin America all the time, but these are places where baseball is a couple decades in. I think for some of these other continents, like I just mentioned, they're only about a decade in, and what the growth of the game is going to be at that level will be fascinating once, you know, some resources are actually committed.
Clinton, we appreciate your time, man. We really highly recommend Clinton's piece that he wrote for Anscape. One photo means more for Team USA's black baseball contingent. Just follow him on Twitter. He's also giving you a tour of LA and being vulnerable about life and all sorts of other stuff. Sir, you are a gem. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to talk to you guys. Stakes is high, Loho.
Stakes is high. Best believe it.
That is Clinton Yates of ESPN. When we come back, I need to highlight and...
We're going to further this conversation because there's a negative example of what we're talking about that happened last night inside the broadcast, right?
Grumbling middle-aged white men policing and gatekeeping the game need to be called out for being on the wrong side of history. We'll do that next on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2. Your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Back spins a fly ball to left and sends a Rosarena to the track, to the wall. That one is caught! Randy Rosarena, the latest show!
That was awesome. I saw it cross on my Twitter feed because I was watching Bulls. So I was trying to keep an eye on what was going on, and I was into the Bulls game because the Bulls game was it didn't stop being interesting. It wasn't pretty,
no,
but at all, but it remained interesting. And then I saw that, I'm like, oh, is that sweet? And I even held my phone over to Beth, like, how cool is that? And it wasn't just the catch that was cool; it was his response and his reaction, and the fact that after the catch, you know what a Rosarena was doing between innings? Signing autographs for people through the little holes in the fence. Come on, man.
That's pretty cool.
That's how great is that? Like, hey, nice catch. Here, we sign this. Hell yeah.
I'll sign it.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah, I don't have to stand here and throw it over to the center fielder. But I can do this. Why not? Because that was cool. Well, and everybody liked it. Except one guy. So let's play it again, and then let's hear what the replay commentary was on FS1 from, you guessed it, John Smoltz.
Backspins a fly ball to left and sends a Rosarena to the track, to the wall. That one is caught! Randy Rosarena, the latest show!
Cold-blooded.
Well, he waited a while, but he robbed it. And then he grandstanded.
Ugh. You turd. Well, he waited a while. But he caught it, and then he grandstanded. Put somebody in there who's enjoying this.
Yes.
And then he grandstanded.
The dichotomy between your play-by-play guy and your color commentator could not be more vast.
I mean, what?
Where the play-by-play guy, who wasn't doing play-by-play?
What are you doing?
Was it Joe?
Joe Davis.
Yeah, it was Joe Davis.
And that whole, it took a while. That's kind of like he was trying to set it up to make it look like. What's wrong with you? In the moment, listen to the crowd. There's one rule in play-by-play, right? And that is you've got to bring the atmosphere. If you're broadcasting a game, you've got a responsibility to translate the atmosphere to the viewer or listener. Not your own personal history, not your own grievances. Not your own idea of what things are supposed to look like. This is what's happening. Bring that experience to your audience.
I've enjoyed Smoltz's commentary about actual gameplay.
He knows the game.
And I've enjoyed him specifically talking about pitching. I don't understand why he won't allow himself to have fun. Like, I get that, you know, you grind and you prepare. The treat of it all is that you get to be involved in a fun tournament where all you have to do, if you need a North Star, if you're John Smoltz, look down on the field. The players are all having fun. The dugouts are all having fun. Why do you have to be so dour and so serious? And I understand, like, considering his career, having someone who has such valuable experience in the game is important. But maybe not for this. Maybe he is your World Series guy, because then you can be real serious about things. Maybe for this you need a different type of color commentator. I don't know if Fox has the rights to.
What's Eduardo Perez doing, man?
Right.
Like somebody who at least is aware of what this means. And
ideally, the guy that would be perfect for it is managing Team USA.
Yeah.
Like a guy like D-Row, you put him up there and he's at least having fun. It's almost like Smoltz doesn't want to take in what's in front of him and take in the cultural cues.
That's what this whole thing is. That's the point of everything we just talked about with Clinton. That's the idea of it. And the gatekeeping that's going on. The fact that he's there deciding what's okay and what's not okay, get him out of there. It's like La Russa, but I'll decide what's sincere or not. It's they're cut from the same cloth. It's like having a non-sleeping Tony La Russa up there. That's what it feels like to me. And you know what? Even when he tries to compliment somebody, even when he tries to know that he's supposed to be excited about something special, it's still got to be through the lens of what's comfortable or familiar to him. And another example of this was last night when he's trying through gritted teeth to maybe come halfway toward enjoying Shohei Ohtani.
Because here's what I tell people all the time. It's like, I mean this as the greatest compliment I can give him. He
BS.
Could be the best pitcher in our game if all he did was pitch. And then on the flip side, he could be one of the greatest hitters of our game if all he did was hit. Well, he combines the both, and that's why it's going to be, you have to have a judge-like year to steal the MVP away from a guy like him, because we've never seen anything like it.
Even when he's trying to compliment, like, he could be this, but he chose to do both. He could be this, but he's choosing to do both.
And he still finished second for MVP, and it was only because, like,
but why not just Well, I mean, this is a compliment. However,
he should do this as long as he can.
You don't mean it as a compliment.
As long as he can be a top 10 pitcher and a top 10 hitter, he should do that.
Because he wants to.
And he's good at it. It's not just because he wants to. Like, there are times when I'm like, Johan, perhaps switch hitting isn't for you. But with Shohei Ohtani, him doing two things, he's really, really good at them. And it's one of the reasons that people are drawn to watch him, because we don't see players like this. He is a throwback to what the game used to be, and might be something that allows for the game to evolve, with more people thinking that they can do this because he succeeded in doing it. It's just, it's so disappointing. Like, there, it's almost like, and you can feel, like, you could almost feel Joe Davis being pulled back, like, oh yeah, I guess we should just let the baseball police handle
this. Well, I also think Joe Davis, I mean, he seems very, very nice, and he's very network.
Very. That very polished.
He's almost to a fault.
But that's why I enjoyed that call, because he allowed himself to have some joy.
I picked him out 10 years ago. I said, this guy's going to be Jim Nantz. And I said it on the air when I heard him as a kid do a game. And I thought he sounded national. But it's almost like he's trying to act way older than his years
right
now.
What is he, 35?
Yeah, but like when you hear, when Adam Amin does a national broadcast, he doesn't put on airs.
Nope, neither does Benetti.
Neither does Benetti, but like they have fun and there's references and they get silly sometimes. And like, they're not trying to act like their dad, you know?
Think about what we've been talking about as far as broadcasting goes. Like, part of the reason that we were talking about Raftery and Brando is because they were able to treat a game that wasn't that big of a deal like it was a big deal because they were calling the game that was in front of them. Or when we're talking about Adam Amin, and I texted Adam his call on Halliburton's game winner, even though it was against the Bulls, the excitement of the moment, he allowed that to help him tell the story. And it bums you out because the Bulls lost the game, but that was a great moment. That's what you're looking for, and that's what I feel like I got from Joe Davis. I feel like I got him being like, wow, like, look at this. And then immediately you have Debbie Downer sitting next to him. You have Eeyore sitting next to him to kind of remind you, no, this is the place where we have to be very solemn in the way that we discuss all of these things.
And then he grandstanded.
That's when I want the button that lights him on fire.
And you hear, you can
you
hear
just press
Joe,
the button.
You can hear Joe Davis deflate. Play that again.
And then he grandstanded.
Yeah, he's like, come on, man. That's what that sounded like to me.
They can't, like, Smoltz cannot have fun in any capacity. I remember last week there was a Team Mexico game where they showed, coming out of a break, Randy Arozarena in boots, in cowboy boots, warming up. And it was supposed to be like, oh, check out this funny thing. And then Smoltz replied, well, I'd never be able to get away with that. Bobby Cox is my manager.
It's no,
like,
Bobby Cox come go on, man. Beat his wife again just like, so he's so mad.
We're talking about pregame fun. You can't even have fun with it, man.
I get that someone texted him, well, he did play for Bobby Cox. I get that. That's not the only influence that he had in baseball.
And so what? Evolve.
Yes. That was a long time ago that you played for Bobby Cox.
You know who the example you
and
brought
you're
up,
in front of the game every week.
You know who else? Mark DeRosa is a perfect example. He was baseball police-y. He didn't like the Tim Anderson bat flip, remember?
Yep. And now he's like,
he went off on it.
And now he's like, man, Tim Anderson is pretty awesome. I really like him. So let's forget about Smoltz and his lack of fun. Let's have a little bit of fun. Let's hear the joy. Let's hear the disappointment from the call of Team Mexico on the game winner.
Batazo, Zúñiga al jardín central. La pelota recoge Candela y va contra el muro. Doble Otani, semáforo luz verde, siga para el pentágono, anota. Y Japón nos dejó en el terreno, se acabó. Se acabó la historia para México en el Clásico Mundial de Béisbol. Desafortunadamente, no salió bien Giovanni Gallegos como contra Puerto Rico. Y Japón festeja. Préntanos a los nuestros.
And now let's hear the call for Team Japan.
¡Muragamita!
That's so cool.
Muragamita!
You saw that ball go into the gap. Mm-hmm. You're like, was that ball getting out of here? It was enough. And Clinton brought it up. I mean, the way that Japan runs the bases. Like, those are the things where, like, if you're a purist, if you're the baseball police, you should be pointing that out to me.
And it's not just that. Watch how their outfielders get behind a ball and crow hop the way. Well, we were taught back in our day how to get into, wheel into your throw as you catch. Man, I used to, when Tsuyoshi Shinjo was on the Giants, and that was, what, 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it, I'm like, oh my God, that's how you do it. You know, and you would see, when you would go to a game early to watch Ichiro warm up, that kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
You want to police the game?
Oh.
You really want to do that? Point out the way Japanese players are better prepared fundamentally.
I literally,
have fun.
When I'm here in the studio and when I stand up, I'm doing what Ichiro.
Oh, yeah, the stretch.
Yeah, because it made a lot of sense to me. He's like, well, you always kind of want to be in motion and you want to be moving. And he never really had big-time injuries throughout his career, that long career between Japan and Major League Baseball. Why won't you – if I were a Fox executive, and I guess I'd have to be a very high-up Fox executive, I would ask John, why won't you allow yourself to have fun on these broadcasts? Like, what?
Well, I have to teach the game the way it's meant to be played. Like, Bobby Cox taught me.
And then he grandstanded.
What constitutes fun for you? And why won't you allow yourself to have it? Because this, again, I would still not like it, but I would understand it more if we're talking about League Championship Series, World Series. The whole thing is to get people involved and excited about baseball.
Yeah, if I'm the WBC, I would like to talk to Fox about who the primary American broadcaster is.
Yeah, because think about it. If USA wins tonight, we're going to have to find like a radio call because I'm sure Joe will be excited. And then Smoltz will tell us something that someone did wrong on the play.
Act like you've been there before, America.
Instead of watching these guys
the ball
celebrate.
To the ref.
Oh, I like Team USA better when they didn't celebrate and showboat like the other teams. You're getting all the information that you need from watching even the differences in celebrations of Puerto Rico and the DR and Venezuela and Mexico and even USA fans who have taken some of their soccer crazy and put it into what we do at the WBC.
That's the point.
Like,
yes.
That's what it's supposed to be.
We have High Noon coming up next. I have a question. Would you want this car?
Oh, I'm going to do some Batman.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, your midday destination for Chicago sports talk on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
High Noon on this Tuesday. We started out by talking Bulls. It was an ugly but ultimately somewhat satisfying win last night at Philadelphia, beating Joel Embiid for the first time. They'll have a chance to turn around and do it again at home tomorrow night if Philly misses as many open threes as they did, perhaps. I think it's unlikely. But go ahead, keep guarding them and see what happens. Clinton Yates joined us. He was awesome.
Terrific.
Talking about the WBC. And then we highlighted more moments where John Smoltz feels it's his responsibility,
guardian of the game,
to safeguard the game from the grandstanding of brown people.
All right, Dan, I got a twofer here because we were talking about it earlier and the production staff went out and found it. Batman and Robin meet Sammy Davis Jr.
This should be good practice if something ever takes us to Mount Everest, Batman.
I think we'll be confining our campaign against evil to Gotham City for some time to come, old chum. It needs us.
Hey, Batman and Robin, what are you guys doing?
Just routine crime fighting.
Well, would you like to come inside? I'm rehearsing.
Thank you, citizen, but our pursuit of justice allows us few diversions.
Oh, be seeing you.
Hi, Robin. Hey, you guys come and catch my act sometime. I dig yours. All right, fellas, one more time. From a whippoorwill.
Robin actually getting acknowledged is kind of a big deal.
Right.
So that's them meeting Sammy Davis Jr.
They're climbing up the side of a building as they do.
Yes.
Perpendicular.
And then Sammy pops his head out the window like, hey, it's Batman and Robin.
See, I hope you realize that when that show was running in the 70s, it was originally the mid-60s, but it would be on like Channel 32. They rerun the shows that when I was little, I took seriously. Like,
yes.
That was Batman. That's Batman to me. And that was like I got scared when they were going to get eaten by the giant clam. That I was, you know, the villains were frightening to me. I was scared of Cesar Romero's Joker and Burgess Meredith's Penguin. I didn't get the bit because I was a kid.
Cesar Romero was so
good. Oh, they're all great.
Good.
They're all great. And Victor Buono as King Tut. I mean, come on.
I mean,
Otto Preminger was Mr. Freeze, right?
Yes. And then Julie Newmar, Lee Merriweather, and Eartha Kitt.
And what was it? Vincent Price, the egg guy. Excellent. And but like the villains were scary to me. And I would make time to sit there. And I only realized now, like, what the monkeys. As a show, you talk about subversive and psychedelic.
Oh,
and
very much so.
I mean, and but now to reappreciate that and to go back and watch some of that stuff, hell, man.
All right, so that's Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh.
They also met the Green Hornet and Kato.
Gee whiz, Batman. Dropping in on a drugstore might have been easier.
Exercise never hurt anyone, Robin. We must always keep the element of surprise on our side.
What are you doing here?
I might ask you the same question.
Pursuing the enemies of law and order wherever they happen to be.
Aren't you in the wrong city?
On special assignment for the Daily Sentinel. You know my aide, Cato?
Robin, the boy wonder.
Well, I don't want to hold you up from your crime fighting.
Thank you, and good luck to you, Mr. Hornet.
Nice to have met you.
Gosh, Batman. What are they dressed like that for? Gee whiz, Batman.
That's great. Keep those drops.
Remind me, what
dressed like that for?
What city were they in? What was the Green Hornets?
I don't even know what the Green Hornets city is.
I don't know either.
But I love that Cato and Bruce Lee got a line.
Van Williams is Britt Reed.
All right, Green now Hornets. Dan's story.
When Dodge announced their last call models last year, it was bittersweet. This, according to hotcars.com. While Dodge muscle car fans were happy that special edition Chargers and Challengers would be arriving, no, it would be the last of the mighty Hemi V8 engine-powered muscle cars.
So are they going to be quiet? Because I'd really like for every Dodge to be quiet.
Dodge has not disappointed the announcement of the seventh and final last call muscle car. The 2023 Challenger SRT.
It's not going to be quiet.
Demon 170.
It's going to be very loud.
Okay. 1,025 horsepower. It requires E85 fuel. That's why it's called 170, referring to the 170 proof alcohol. Torque is up to 945 pound feet.
Dear God.
And they're. It's on slicks. It's on Mickey Thompson drag radials.
How much?
$100,361.
Oh, that's it?
But what are you, like, I wouldn't want to pull that out of my garage. Like,
not to drive on Chicago streets.
That's right, but like, what do you do with it?
You go and you are loud at stoplights. And you try to beat people off the line.
But it doesn't mean you've got a bigger...
I laugh because some of the lower versions of those cars, I'm like, my little cute little SUV will blow your doors off if I put this thing to the floor. Like, for real, I will blow your doors off.
But so what?
It's like you're so loud. Stop being loud. This is my John Smoltz moment. Stop being so damn loud out in these streets. With your Dodge, your Challengers, and your Chargers, and your things that are trying to represent other things. We got a Hemi. Yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you do. Look at all the horsepower we got. Can you even drive?
I'm going to blow you off the line.
Okay. Now, then what?
Now what happens when a mile from here we're at the same stoplight? Because that's what's going to happen. And I'm going to go, hey.
I'm in a huge hurry to get to a convenience store and buy Mountain Dew. I have to get there fast.
Mountain Dew code red.
I need my Funyuns, damn it. I'm running out of Funyuns.
This car is fueled by Monster Energy Drink.
Okay.
And Slim Jims. Ooh, yeah.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
I'm going to be first in line when Fast and Furious 10 comes out. And I'm gonna challenge him to a race. He's never seen anything like this.
I'm so much of a man. I spent $100,000 on this. That's how manly I am.
You can hear me coming all the way down the street.
The Incel 170.
The text says, "The I hate my kids."
Next up, some Bears talk. Ryan Poles doesn't care.
He really doesn't.
He doesn't care.
I can't figure out if that's good or bad for the Bears, but it is good for Bears fans so far. We'll discuss that next. It's Bernstein and Holmes here on The Score. Vroom, vroom!
Gosh, Batman. What, are they dressed like that?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.